This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And finally, on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome our buddy from Aston Sports, because pitchers and catchers reported today, Tobes. Our guy Mark Zuckerman joins us. Mark, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We are very well, my friend. One of my favorite days of the year. It's about new beginnings. Give me kind of your big picture, 30,000-foot view, major storylines you're following right now with the Nats.
So, all right. I think the way to look at this is that last year we saw a number of their top prospects, the big name guys, Cruz and Wood in particular, reach the big leagues and show us a little taste of what they can do. And they're now kind of front and center going into this year. And you combine those two with the young building blocks that they've already had over the last year or two, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, Luis Garcia, et cetera. That's what this team is now. And it's still a very young team, but they all have some big league experience. And the feeling is, okay, it's time now for that next step. We've been waiting for them all to arrive. Well, they're here now. Now let's see that translate into a better performance on the field. I think a lot of people, myself included, hoped that the front office would supplement them with more this winter, with some bigger name free agents, some more established guys. The moves they made were kind of calculated in particular spots and maybe not the big splash that a lot of us thought was coming, and it didn't come. So I think that part makes you a little bit hesitant about how far they could take that next step this year. But ultimately, it's about the young guys. And you know, 4 years into this, since they started the rebuild, this is finally the team that I think a lot of us have been waiting to see. Now let's see how they do.
You mentioned C.J. Abrams in their weird end of the season last year, sent down with some, you know, off-the-field stuff and whatnot. Are there any hard feelings left over from that? I saw pictures that even though, you know, pitchers and catchers were today, plenty of other guys there, C.J. Abrams among them. Does it seem like everything's just good to go for this season and that's kind of in the past?
Yeah, that was the message today. We talked to C.J. It's the first time he's spoken since his demotion at the end of September. He said, you know, he didn't brush it off. He acknowledged that it caught him off guard and that, it took him a little while to kind of get over it, but he's ready to put it behind him. He came in with a really good attitude. Like you said, he reported early with a lot of other position players. Davey Martinez insists that they've had some very good conversations over the course of the winter. And CJ is coming in here, I think, really motivated to show that the guy that he was in the first half of the season, when he was the All-Star, that's who he can be over a full 6 months. And, you know, even without the demotion and everything that went with that, he slumped in the second half last year. And he knows that that's just as important here, is for him to show that he can do this and be that kind of player for an entire season. So he's very motivated. He insists that he learned from it. He's trying to take positives from it and move on, and now it's up to him to show everybody on the field that he can be that guy.
Mark, let's say there was a game tonight. Not a spring training game, but a real one. There isn't, but let's say there is. They got a one-run lead. They're playing the Mets. Davey Martinez calls down to the bullpen. The door opens. Who's there to protect that lead in the ninth inning? Who's their closer?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Danny. It's almost as if you just read my Twitter feed because I just published the article answering that exact question.
Mark, did you?
So I love... Go to massinsports.com and you can read exactly what the answer to that question is. But I'll tell you myself what kind of a little tease for what's in there. The answer is they don't know right now today. And it's a good thing that the season doesn't begin tomorrow because it's not an ideal situation. This to me is the number one cause for concern right now as we look forward to the season. They decided to non-tender Kyle Finnegan, decided he wasn't worth the $8 or $9 million he would have got. through arbitration. They did not go and replace him with somebody of equal, certainly of an equal salary or even a track record like that. They signed Jorge Lopez, who has been a closer briefly in his career with the Orioles. I think he's more of a setup man. They really like Jose Ferrer, who is a really promising, young, hard-throwing lefty who doesn't have a full big league season under his belt yet. So would you just throw him to the Wolves like that? Reading between the lines, I still feel like they are going to make some more moves over the course of the spring. It sounds like they are determined to add at least one, if not two more relievers before camp ends. Now, will that be a bona fide closer or just another guy who could pitch the late innings and they piece it together? I don't know the answer to that yet, but that to me is still a major concern because you guys know this. There's nothing more demoralizing in baseball than you do everything right for eight innings. You're in a position to win a game, and then one guy in the ninth inning blows it. And I really hope they don't find themselves in that position too often this year because they decided essentially not to spend money on a proven closer.
Not to steal from your other story that you posted earlier today, Mark, but going into this season, 71 and 91, the last 2 years, what's kind of the vibe? What's the expectations around this team? Like, you know, this offseason, we were hoping they were going to spend some more money than they did. They didn't really, but they did improve in some spots. Is this a team that they feel they can finish above 500 or around 500, potentially maybe even sneak into the playoffs? Or is this still continuing the same sort of let's hope that we can continue building sort of year?
I think for the guys in that clubhouse and also, you know, the manager in the front office, I think there is a feeling of it's time to see more results on the field. That back-to-back 71-win seasons obviously is not what anyone is hoping for, but you could also argue that progress was made because of the arrival and development of the young guys and that maybe the record was secondary to the development that they experienced the last 2 years. I think they all acknowledge that that can't really be the case this year. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a winning record and they have to be in the pennant race in September. I mean, they would love for those things to happen. But more than anything, you want to be able to say at the end of the year, okay, we see tangible results of this long process that we've all been waiting to see play out over the last few years. And development is great, but ultimately it does have to boil down to wins and losses. And I think there's more pressure on a number of people this year. You know, Davey Martinez, he has a contract option for next year. The club can pick up an option, but this is another one of those kind of contract years for him. I think Mike Rizzo, at some point, you do start evaluating how the rebuild has gone. And so I think for them and for a bunch of individual players who are trying to take that next step, there should be pressure on them all to be better this year, both, you know, individually, but also ultimately on wins and losses. That's how this team should be judged.
Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, with us here on G&D. Toby in for Jeeps today. So, Mark, they're starting rotation. This is where they've got some depth. There are seven guys that could make a claim for a spot. There are a couple that I think you'd put in Sharpie at this point, and this not even including, you know, an eventual Josiah Gray return and the variable of Cade Cavalli, but there's seven guys right now that I think have starting experience and have had some success. How does that rotation shake out?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest battle of the spring is to see how they decide who are the final five there. Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin are in for sure, and I would guess right now that Gore is their choice for opening day, although they probably won't make that announcement for quite a while. Davey Martinez flat out said that Michael Soroka, who they signed for $9 million this winter, that he said he is a starter for us. So I know he had some success in the bullpen with the White Sox last year. Maybe if things don't work out in the rotation, you could see him shift to a bullpen role, but it sure sounded to me like, and certainly the contract they gave him, at least for this team, was a contract that you give to somebody you expect to start. So I put him in there. They brought back Trevor Williams on a two-year deal, the only guy they gave multiple years to. So you would think, again, that he's got a leg up for that. And based on the way he pitched last year when he was healthy, you know, that would be good. Then you've got some young guys for the other spots. DJ Herz and Mitchell Parker both had their moments last year. The new Japanese pitcher, and forgive me, I'm still going to learn how to pronounce his name properly.
I was hoping you would do it for me so I could copy your pronunciation. I've swung in this so badly.
Shinosuke?
Yep.
Ogasawara, but I need to get that exactly right still. It's going to be really interesting. They view him as a starter. They're going to build him up as a starter. Is he big league ready? They could, in theory, send him to AAA if he's not ready for the start of the year. I don't think they view him as a reliever, but somebody from that whole group probably ends up as a long reliever, certainly given the lack of depth in the bullpen they have at the moment. But they have options, and that's a good thing, and maybe something they haven't always had in the past. So while there may not be a bunch of guys at the top of the rotation, you super excited, there's certainly more depth than they've had in a long time. And if and when somebody gets hurt, because it will happen undoubtedly, I think they're in a much better position to deal with that now than they've been in the past.
Mark, it seems like when you look through the roster that you kind of understand, or at least you're pretty confident, who's going to start at most of the positions, but maybe third base. What do you think is going to be the plan there? Who's fighting for those spots in spring training?
Yeah, that's the one that's probably up in the air. And again, we thought maybe they'd go out and get somebody this winter. They haven't. There's still some guys available if they want to go that route. But at least the way that he spoke about it today, Davey Martinez kind of said it's an open competition, but seemed to indicate that they want to give Jose Tana a legitimate shot to show that the offense that he provided late last season, that there is something there, and that the defense should be better now that he's had an actual opportunity to learn the position. He was kind of learning it on the fly last season. I think ultimately they're just waiting for Brady House to be ready. He's here in big league camp. They do believe he is the future, is the long term. I just don't know they want to force that issue. I don't think they'll rule out the possibility of him being the guy on opening day, but my sense would be that unless he has just a lights out spring and forces the issue, that they probably want him to start at AAA, have some success, and then call him up when you think he's ready. Probably, hopefully in the first half of the season, I'd like to think that. And in the meantime, whether it's Tana, whether it's Ahmed Rosario, who they signed, Trey Lipscomb, who's here and got the chance last year and didn't do a lot with it, but they're not giving up on him. I think all those guys are sort of stopgaps for now, and ultimately it's about when is Brady House ready for the big leagues.
Mark, Kaber Ruiz just did not have a good year last year. There's good reasons why. You can call them excuses. You can call them explanations. Regardless, you're now in, hey, let's get going, prime time here, especially in catcher years. He'll be 26 this season, just a couple years removed from, almost 20 homers, a .260 batting average, OPS in the low sevens. Again, last year just never seemed to get right, both offensively and defensively. Just give me your thoughts, kind of overall picture here on Ruiz.
Well, yeah, I mentioned how there are individuals facing pressure this year. I think he's high on that list. It's kind of put up or shut up time. And I know he has the long-term contract, so it's not like he's going anywhere. But he does need to reestablish the fact that he is the guy behind the plate for them for years to come, and that we shouldn't be talking about somebody else, leapfrogging him, or at least getting to a point where he has to share the job. He looks good. He lost some weight over the winter. I think that's something they wanted him to do. They really want him to come in here and get off to a good start. Even when he was good a few years ago, it was more on the second half than on the first half. So they would love for him to get off to a good start, but at the same time, not to put too much pressure on himself to get off to a good start. He's a worrier. He is someone that when things are not going well, he takes it hard. And I think they're trying to help him understand, like, hey, don't do that to yourself. Don't be so focused on, well, I have to hit this in April or else the season is a bust. I think psychologically there's a lot of work to do there with him to get him back. But he needs to be better. He needs to establish that, yes, he is the answer behind the plate, not just now but for years to come, and that they invested in him for the right reasons. So I'd put him high on that list of guys who are facing some real pressure this year.
Talking with Mark Zuckerman from MassinSports.com, Toby Altizer in for Grant Paulson today on Grant and Danny. One of those guys, Mark, that had a pressure-packed season last year and frankly didn't even have the best spring and then came out and responded really well throughout the season was Luis Garcia. And I saw this offseason that he had changed his representation. Is that the guy that the Nationals view as their long-term second baseman, and are they going to try and work out a contract to keep him around long-term?
Well, if he can do what he did last year, absolutely he's the guy. That was by far the best development of the season, at least among the position players, for them last year. And it took a while, and there was some tough love, and there were times last spring that a lot of us were wondering, like, are they squeezing him out? Is he in danger of being, knocked out altogether from being part of this plan? And then, to his credit, he worked really hard, and he got off to a good start, and he had an excellent season for them at the plate, on the bases and in the field. Now that next step for him is to not be complacent with it, to play with that same kind of urgency that he finally showed last year, maybe being demoted a couple times and having the fear of losing your job altogether is what did it for him. He's got to find that motivation again to keep doing it and not just think, okay, well, I'm set now. I'm good because I had one good year. They would love for him to be the guy, not just this year, long term as well. And I'm sure somewhere along the way, they'll try to have that conversation. It's tough, as we've seen, to get anybody to agree to a long-term extension. But if he keeps doing what he did last year, he will absolutely be a part of their plan, not just now, but for a while.
All right, Mark, I'll let you go on this. Couple superlatives or prediction-type deals, okay? Who leads the team in home runs?
I will say James Wood leads the team in home runs. We saw a glimpse of it last year. I know he hits the ball a ton. He hits it really hard. If he can start elevating it, which is any level more consistency, and we saw that, you know, over those few months that he was here, by the end he was doing it more. Give me James Wood approaching 30 homers this year.
Who leads the team in stolen bases?
I will say, yeah, that's a good one, because CJ should be the guy, but Jacob Young was really good at it last year, as was Luis Garcia, kind of surprisingly. I'll say CJ gets back on track and looks like the guy we saw the previous year and is up there in the 40 range on stolen bases.
So back to homers. Last year, one player for the Nats, CJ Abrams, the aforementioned, had 20 homers. How many Nationals hit 20-plus home runs this year?
Oh, God, you would like to think it's more than that, wouldn't you?
I would love for it to be more than that, please.
We hope.
It's kind of important in today's game to hit home runs, you know. It is an emphasis. They have absolutely talked about this, not just individually, but collectively, as we need to start hitting the ball in the air, fewer ground balls. So good on them for preaching it. Now can they put it into practice? So I will say James Wood hits 20. I will say Nathaniel Lowe hits 20. I will say Josh Bell hits 20. I'll say C.J. Abrams hits 20. And I would like to believe Dylan Cruz can do it. Maybe it's more like 15 in his first full big league season, but I know that power is there. So give me four guys maybe to hit 20 or more. How does that work?
I would. That's quadruple what we got last year, Mark. I would do spin kicks. Who leads the team in innings pitched?
Innings pitched, I'll go Jake Irvin. I think he is really showing that he can be a workhorse. And maybe he's not a number one or even a number two in the long run. But he was among the league leaders in innings last season. And so I think he's the guy. I think they'll be a little more careful with Mackenzie Gore, knowing that as he gets deeper in games, sometimes it falters on him. They're obviously going to be careful or more careful with Trevor Williams, and we don't have Patrick Corbin around here anymore to plead with and hope that he could somehow give them 180 quality innings. So I'll say Jake Irvin leads the staff and maybe even is among the league leaders again in innings pitched.
And last one, who has the Luis Garcia season? Like, there have been signs in the past of Garcia. I've always liked him, but he had his breakout last year. How about this? Have we noticed this guy kind of season?
Yeah. How about I go with Keibert Ruiz
all out
on that? Yeah, I think he knows it. I think everybody knows this is a big year for him. And there's a reason they acquired him and why they gave Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, and he was one of the key pieces they got in return. I think it's kind of a make-or-break season for him, knowing how motivated he is, determined he is. I'll say it's a big year for a reason. At the end of the year, we're saying, okay, that did all work out in the end, and yes, he has proven that he's a part of this thing.
Mark, appreciate the time. Enjoy the beautiful weather while we have to deal with snow here in the DMV.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything about it. It would be rude of me to mention that I'm worried I got sunburned on day one while my wife was at home shoveling snow. So I just won't say that. That wouldn't be appropriate.
No, it'd be wrong to say that. Mark, thank you, buddy. Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes. That is Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports. And there is what you do when pitchers and catchers report. You talk about a little season preview. Plenty of questions to be answered. Some good ones in there.